And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus right here on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this January 15th. And because it's a Tuesday, that means that Susan Burns is with us once
here
again.
Susan,
how are you?
I'm back. I'm good. And it's 2013. I think we're far enough now into that 20 thing that we could just start calling it 13.
Are we setting trends on the program today?
I think we can now. But I just wanted to toss that out there. But we've got a couple of favorite folks from this show. Financial Hope is with us today, and we're going to be available. They're willing to be available to callers who want to call in with their budgeting dilemmas.
That's right. Budgeting dilemmas. We'll be talking a bit about student debt as well. Basically, it's all about debt once again on this Midday Matters Financial Focus. And we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment you want to share with our panel and with our listeners, the number is 260-452-1185. Or you can always call us toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. With us in studio for the hour, it's Mike LeClair, Director of Counselors at Financial Hope. Mike, thanks very much for being with us once again.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Susan.
Sure.
And with us, I believe, for the first time, at least since I've been on the program, Dan Richardville, a counselor at Financial Hope. Dan, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I mentioned a moment ago, we wanted to talk about student debt, and we touched on it a bit, Mike, I believe during the last program, but didn't really get into it. This is a huge amount of money for folks, former students, and of course parents and guardians in the United States. Over $1 trillion. You said before the program. Now accumulated in student debt in the U.S.
That's correct. I believe that, you know, since 2010, student loan debt has surpassed the total outstanding credit card debt in the United States, and currently I believe it is a little over or right close to $1 trillion, which is quite a bit. So it is definitely an issue that's coming out to the forefront. We're starting to see a lot more folks come into Financial Hope in counseling and education, and some of their issues that they're dealing with now are student loans. So,
I want to dive into this a little bit because there are different types of debt. I mean, student debt can be different from credit card debt, can be different from mortgage debt. I mean, in all situations you owe, but the terms are often very different when you're talking about student debt.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this morning. I mean, for years, I think we've always heard, well, there's good debt and there's bad debt. Well, you know, with credit card debt being lumped into the bad debt category and student loan debt being lumped into the good debt category because, you know, you can further your career and get, you know, better paying job and stuff than that. But I'm not sure I'm hearing that term a lot lately that they're throwing out the old, you know, the student loans are good debt. I think it's starting to turn the other way where you just have to be careful. I think student loans are okay. It's just like any type of debt. I mean, it can be good, can be bad, just how you use it and what you're getting into and stuff. So,
Dan Richardville, you're a counselor at Financial Hope. Can you talk a little bit about Mike just mentioned seeing more folks at the organization now who are coming in with, is it large amounts of student debt?
Oh, it definitely can be. It ranges anywhere from, you know, $5,000 to sometimes it's $90,000 in student loan debt that somebody might have.
Wow, that's a significant amount of money, especially when a lot of folks are heading into what is still a challenging job market.
Absolutely. I think a lot of students are discovering that when they graduate, you know, 6 months after they graduate, their payments come out of deferment and they have to start making payments. And they start in their career and they're not quite at the income level they expected to be at that point.
Right. So what's when somebody comes into your office with a high amount of, let's say, student debt, I mean, what's your first advice to them?
Well, we kind of point out a lot of websites that are available to the students, and we can give some of those out here today. But there's not a lot we can do at our agency as far as putting them on a debt management program. That's more designed for credit card debt. There's, you know, you can't file bankruptcy generally on student loans. So you want to know basically what type of student loans you have. Are they private loans? Are they government loans? There's a website that you can go to that determines which student loans are federal and which are private. It's www.nslds.ed.gov, and that website will tell you which loans are federal.
Mike LeClaire, can you expand on this idea a little bit here? Because we've talked on this program before, you know, a last resort for folks who are just in over their heads. So with, say, credit card debt, could file bankruptcy.
Correct.
Most student loans, as Dan mentioned, can't be discharged, though.
Some. You're going to have to prove some type of outstanding, you know, hardship type thing, which I believe in 50% of the cases is very hard to do. So for the majority of student loans, no, you cannot be filing bankruptcy on it. So it's a lot different debt than credit card debt, which obviously can be discharged in bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So
do you have an idea of the threshold of hardship? I mean, are we talking more about long-term injury, something that's keeping you from getting a higher paying job, that sort of thing?
Not sure. I do know that for federal student loans, they offer a total and permanent disability discharge, though. So if you fall into that category, you can apply to have your student loans discharged through that route. But in terms of bankruptcy, I'm thinking it's going to be a much, much harder route if you know, to try to discharge your student loans. It'd be pretty hard to have that happen.
So just not having a job isn't really what they might consider as a hardship.
You know, I doubt it. I would really have to look into that to see the specific criteria for having it discharged through bankruptcy. Yes.
We're talking today with Mike LeClaire and Dan Richardville from Financial Hope here in Fort Wayne. And we want to hear from you, since this show is all about debt. If you have a question about yours or a question you might want to ask for somebody else, we'd love to hear your story today. So get in touch, 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at @middaymatters. I know there are a lot of kind of dicey specifics when we're talking about any type of debt, but Dan Richardville, I want to go back to you. I know there have been a number of changes from I believe, the Obama administration in the last few years when it comes to at least government-subsidized student debt. Can you address that at all?
A little bit. There's a brand new thing that came out December 21st, actually, of 2012. The United States Department of Education announced the pay-as-you-earn plan. There's something that previously existed called IBR Info, income-based reduction. The website for that is www.ibrinfo.org. And basically, that's an income-based reduction website. And now there's this new thing that's called pay-as-you-earn plan that came out December 21st. But basically, if it's all income-based, so the mm-hmm. lower your income is, the lower payments you can qualify. Mm-hmm. And as your income changes, as it goes up or down, I believe that the payment will go up and down as well. Mike actually knows. Let me push that back to Mike, because I think he's a little bit more familiar with that than I am.
Sure.
Yeah, this new program, basically, it's going to help folks that are struggling. They've got, you know, their student loans are due. They don't have the income that they wanted, and basically it's going to cap it out for 10% of your discretionary income would be your monthly payment, and if you can, after end of 20 years, your total student loans could be forgiven. Or if you work for like a public service type in sector, you might be able to have them forgiven after 10 years. So this is a great program for a lot of folks that are just saying, hey, look, I just don't have the income right now to meet the demands of my student loans.
And this, previously, I mean, this suggests that it was more difficult, I guess, to work with student loan servicers in terms of getting those payments made. Is that fair or not?
I'm not sure that's 100% correct. I think they're just coming out with more programs than they had before. Like Dan mentioned, they had the IBR type repayment program, which I think a lot of people have used in the past. So this is just, I think, another program. And again, it extends it. I believe that IBR program was a cap that was gone for 25 years, whereas this one, this new pay-as-you-earn program, you could be done with your student loans within about 20 years. Again, it's income-based, and I'm guessing you're going to have to make sure you make the payments in a timely manner to continue with it, and they'll probably check your income. So it's just not like your income is here at a certain situation, and then you can go 20 years, or they're probably going to be checking on you throughout your 20 years.
Submitting tax returns or something.
I'm sure, like yes, yes.
they're not taking folks at their word.
Yes, so...
Well, we do want to hear from our listeners, not only about your questions questions about debt, I should say, but how you paid it off. Maybe you worked with the folks at Financial Hope, or you got on your own plan. We would love to hear your story about how perhaps you paid off your debt and got that off the books. Give us a call, 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. We do need to take just a quick break here, so we'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
I'm Celeste Headlee. Every day brings fresh developments and interesting stories to tell. At Talk of the Nation, we look for the stories that matter to you. From international news to the latest campaign politics to the issues that touch your family, tune in to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Bob Mayer. Join me Tuesday nights on WBOI for Tossed Jazz Salad, an eclectic mix of assorted styles of jazz with some standards, some bop, a bit of cool, and a pinch of swing. Tuesday nights from 7 to 9.
What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Ben Affleck. At the Golden Globe Sunday, his film Argo won for Best Film Drama, and he won for Best Director. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
It's 20 minutes past the hour. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Midday Matters Financial Focus here on 89.1 FM. Susan Burns is along with me once again. Thanks very much for being with us this hour, Susan.
Thanks. I always learn stuff when I'm in here with you, Sean, and our amazing guests like Mike LeClaire and Dan Richardville from Financial Hope.
That's right. We're talking this hour about all things debt with our friends from Financial Hope, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, perhaps you want to tell us your story about how you paid off your debt, give some inspiration to our other listeners here. Give us a call and share your thoughts, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Of course, our email is always open. That's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Our Facebook page is up as well, and we have a Twitter account. It's at Midday Matters. Susan, we were talking over the break about the fact that there's not just one type of student loan.
Right, right. And Mike had mentioned that they ask about, is it a private student loan or is it federal? And Mike and Dan, fill us in a little bit on the differences that those mean. We'll start with you, Mike.
Well, I think nowadays most of the student loans that are being originated are government student loans, so which you have a lot more options if you do get into trouble to deal with, to try to defer and work out payment plans, whereas some of the older private student loans, they were generally originated through a bank or you know, some other type of institution, and they're a little bit more difficult to deal with. So that's one factor, and you have to be concerned about is what type of student loans you have. And again, I think there's a huge difference between the private student loans and the government student loans. Once again, government student loans being a little bit easier to deal with. Yes.
And how does, when someone's starting into school, how do you get to this student loan point? Do you, like with a, when you get a loan at a bank, you go to the bank and you fill out some forms and you, then they decide how much they can loan you. Is it like that? If I can't go to the government to get my loan, so how does that get started?
I discovered something here a couple months ago, actually. It's a 56-page pamphlet on federal student loans that's available to the public out there. It's called Your Federal Student Loans, Learn the Basics and Manage Your Debt.
That sounds like much more than a pamphlet.
It's a small novella.
Yeah.
And just to give you this, the way students and parents can get this information, you can order it. I'll give you a few options here. You can order it online at edpubs.gov. So you can order it online, or you can email your request to edpubs@inet.ed.gov, or you can call a request 1-877-433-7827. But that's all on federal loans. There's a big glossary in the back, and it just tells you about everything you need to know,
and that comes from the United States government. So they'll be providing a little guidance on that.
Correct.
All right. Before we leave the topic of student debt, I want to talk just a little bit more about the education, the education process, going into this, because it seems like a lot of folks, maybe a student, a 17, 18-year-old kid is excited about going to college, wants to go, no matter what, the money isn't necessarily there, and they may not understand exactly what they're getting into. And Michael LeClair, I want to ask you, do you think folks are prepared when they get into this, when they take on this amount of debt?
Some are, but I think majority of them are not nowadays. So I think it goes back to a lot, let's get educated. Let's educate the students in terms of what their options are with student loans and trying other avenues besides student loans. I mean, I think for a lot of people that they're thinking, hey, that's it. I mean, that's the only way I can finance my college education. Well, there's grants. There's all kinds of different things out there. And perhaps even looking at a college that the tuition is not as high as perhaps the one you were looking at to begin with and stuff. I know Utah has one of the lowest default rates on student loans in the nation, and they're pretty strong with high school curriculum requirements for personal finance. So I think that's kind of helped them as these kids graduated high school and got into college and such. So,
I want to kind of pose the same question to you, Dan. Folks that you see who have student loan debts, do you think they necessarily fully understand what they're into?
Absolutely not.
No?
It's very common for people to not have any clue how many loans they have, what the balances are, what the payments are that's expected, what interest rate they have, when payments are due. I'd say 80% of the people are clueless. And that's a really big issue, is just knowing what you have.
Well, and in fact, and I'm not sure if this is the case now, but for example, when I took out my student loans, those loans were sold a number of times. So I opened with perhaps one organization with one servicer, and 2 years later, it may have changed hands, but 2, 3, 4 times, contributing, it seems like, to a whole lot of confusion.
Correct. And you know, if you ever had a copy of your credit report and took a look at it, if you've had student loans, I mean, it's just blanketed with student loan, you know, like who has your student loan and stuff. So it's a lot of times you think, oh my gosh, I thought I just had it with one or two servicers, and it's just all over the place. So yeah, there's a lot of confusion. I think too, you know, when a lot of students get student loans, when one of the, you know, basically they have to do some type of online counseling, and it's just check here, check here, check here, boom, here's your student loan. So again, it goes back to, are they really understanding what they're checking on online with, you know, this per se counseling that they're receiving? So I think part of the issue is going to be hopefully that there's going to be a little bit more, you know, stronger, I don't know if you want to go into mandates, but or laws, but a little bit more push to have a little bit more better information out there, and hopefully the students understand what they're getting into.
Before we transition away from this topic, I want to ask you both, you know, if somebody is having trouble with their student loans, they maybe have a basic idea of how much they owe, you know, may know who their servicer is. How do they resolve this? Do they get in touch with their servicer? Do they get in touch with Financial Hope? What's a good first step for folks who can't quite make their payment?
I think getting in touch with the loan provider is absolutely the way to go to find out what they have. And there's a website here too, and I'm not sure if this is for people at the front end or the back end, whether the loans already exist or they're looking into loans, but I wanted to point this out too. Another good resource is finaid.org, finaid.org. That's the most comprehensive website for students to look under for loans and payment plans, but I definitely think going to the source to get information about their loan is the way to go.
Yes, I agree. You know, at this point in time, we are not per se certified student loan counselors. Now, that could change. I've been really talking to my boss and some folks at Financial Hope and others who will listen to me that I really think that's going to be the wave of the future. You're definitely seeing more and more folks that are needing that type of service, actually more than the credit card counseling. So at some point in time, we may become certified student loan counselors. We're not quite there yet. But no matter what, I would say it's a good idea to, one, contact your student loan servicer, but you can always give us a call at Financial Hope Counseling and Education, and you can sit down with one of our certified financial counselors. They'll go over your income, your living expenses, your debts. They're going to give you an action plan, and that'll help you address a basic comprehensive plan, not just dealing with per se student loans, but a lot of the other issues you may be also experiencing. So definitely give us a jingle there, and we'd be glad to set you up with an appointment.
We're talking today with Mike LeClaire and Dan Richard from Financial Hope. We appreciate both of you guys being with us today. Now we want our listeners to join us as well. If you have a question or perhaps a comment for our panelists, give us a call. Or if you have a triumphant story to share with us as well, you were able to get that debt paid off even sooner than you expected, get in touch with us, 260-452-1185. Or 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And of course, our topic today, it's all things debt. Mike LeClaire, I want to ask you about something that you kind of just touched on there. You said student loans are becoming as big of, or even a bigger issue than credit card debt. Does this suggest that folks are starting to get a hold of the credit card debt problem?
Not sure. You know, locally here, we're, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you work at Financial Hope, you know, a nonprofit credit counseling place. You're pretty busy. The number of folks that we're seeing is decreasing over the last few years, and it's not just locally, it's nationwide. So where's everybody going? Has everybody paid off their credit card debt? I don't think so. there's a lot more competition out there with credit counseling industries, a lot of them for-profit. Yeah. There's debt settlement agencies that we've discussed on the show previously. A lot of people have filed bankruptcy in the last few years. But I think, though, that a lot of people have gotten better grip on their finances, particularly with credit card debt. The credit card issuers are not extending as much credit to credit card borrowers as they used to. We don't see people. Yeah. We used to see some folks roll in and they had a $20,000 balance on what used to be called their MBNA account, which is now Bank of America. Well, we don't see that. You're not going to see somebody roll in with just a $20,000 debt on one credit card anymore. So I think people are more aware of it. They're getting a little bit more educated, and they're trying little bit better to take a better grip on their finances, including credit card debt.
That's good news.
That is great news. Yes, definitely. That is great news.
Let's open the phones here and see if we can get a caller on the line. And of course, if you want to get in touch, once again, 260-452-1185. You can tell us your story of becoming debt-free, or if you have a question about debt, we'd love to hear that as well. Let's open the phones and go to Jen. Jen, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I have a triumph.
All right.
Yay. And just also words of advice, because my husband and I both have student loans, an amazing debt, $250,000 worth of debt.
Wow.
We kind of got caught up in that whole, hey, he's got a great job, you know, keeping up with the Joneses in a way. But, you know, we changed our whole thinking, and now in 2 weeks, we're going to be debt-free.
Oh, great. Congratulations. That's
fantastic.
Great, great news. Any tips to help folks, get on that track and stay on that track?
You know, the biggest tip my husband and I talk about that we're going to do with our kids is go to a school you can afford. Save up for a school you can afford. Avoid the student debt. I don't want to be a mom who says, oh, but just get a loan. If you really want to go there, honey, get a loan. If you really want to go there, then get a scholarship. So we're really going to employ that in them. And then also just live below your means. We don't have the houses that most people where he works have, and that's okay, you know, because we're going to have a great savings and future for our kids and a great retirement.
And can I ask you, Jen, too, you're at this wonderful point now. How difficult was it to stick with it?
I think even at times, like maybe I would want to stray or he would, but at least both of us were never like that at the same time. So it's kind of like getting on the same page was huge. Both of us getting on the same page is let's wipe this out.
Openness and it sounds like the buddy system was a big help here,
too. It is huge to get on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, which sometimes we weren't, I had to be accountable at least for what I was doing and vice versa.
All right. Well, Jen, many congratulations to you. That's a wonderful story and wonderful news.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much, Jen. 260-452-1185. If you want to share your story of triumph over debt, or if you have a question or comment for our friends from Financial Hope as well, we have another caller on the line. Let's go to CJ. CJ, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. In December of last year, I understand that legislation was passed in the U.S. Congress that is pertinent to the discussion today. Can one of your participants explain what was passed and how it's significant for student loan debt repayment?
Gentlemen, I know there's been a whole lot going on in Congress. Any thoughts?
I apologize. We're not as up on that as we should be. I do know, as in December 21st of this past year, there was the pay-as-you-earn plan that came into effect that we spoke about earlier. But
for student debt.
Student loan debt, mm-hmm. Yes. But again, is that your reference to student loan or just overall debt?
No, that I guess that's what it was. Pardon me. I joined the program a little late. That's indeed what it was. It was the pay-as-you-go program.
Correct, yes. And they're just trying to make it a little easier for folks to it's more of an income-based type program where you can have your payments are going to be capped at 10% of your discretionary income, and you can have that any remaining balance after 20 years can be forgiven, or if you work in certain sectors in public service, you might have that loan forgiven after 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And what agency handles the processing of those kind of that particular pay-as-you-go program?
Well, I believe it's the U.S. Department of Education, but an excellent website I would get on to check more information about it is called studentloans.gov, and they'll have a wealth of information for you on that.
And it may not be
Thanks
a bad
idea.
The servicer may have that information
yes,
as well.
Definitely.
All right. Well, CJ, we appreciate the call and a very good question. And Dan Richardville, a good illustration of just how complex getting into these issues can be.
Yes, absolutely.
We do need to take just a quick break here. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. In the meantime, we want you to get in touch with us. If you have a question like CJ, or if you have a story of triumph over debt, we want to hear that as well. You can inspire our listeners today. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. At All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the rainbow of human experience. Nourish your mind, weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News, an escape from the ordinary.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Governor Mike Pence went straight to work after being sworn in yesterday, signing 15 executive orders. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, that includes a measure stripping some authority away from the incoming state superintendent of public instruction.
One of Pence's first acts in office was to rescind an executive order signed by former Governor Mitch Daniels. The new order shifts oversight of the Education Employment Relations Board from the state superintendent to the governor, where it had historically been before Daniels changed it. The board settles teacher contract disputes. Pence says the order is not a move to diminish the power of incoming superintendent Glenda Ritz.
Really believe that the historic framework and the accountability directly to governor is in the best interest of taxpayers and all parties concerned.
Ritz's office says it's comfortable with the change. Pence also signed an order directing certain state agencies to create family impact statements. Pence says the impact statements are intended to ensure regulations do not discourage the formation and well-being of intact married families.
We will in no way diminish our commitment to come alongside parents who are raising kids in difficult circumstances. But this is more about leveling the playing field and making sure the state of Indiana is not promulgating rules and regulations that in any way disadvantage intact two-parent families.
Pence also halted the creation of any new regulations by state agencies until his administration can assess ways to reduce regulatory burdens. Exceptions include regulations needed to create jobs and address emergency, health, or safety situations. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Governor Mike Pence is rolling out his spending blueprint for Indiana one day after taking office. The Pence administration plans to unveil its first budget before a hearing of the State Budget Committee this afternoon. The new Republican governor has cash in the bank and a roughly $500 million surplus to work with, courtesy of former Governor Mitch Daniels. But he also has many demands from lawmakers in both parties to restore spending cuts to education, child services, and other areas. Pence will also have to find room for his proposed income tax cut at a cost of roughly $500 million a year. He's facing hesitation from lawmakers who say any tax cut proposal should wait until they receive new tax collection forecasts in April. Monday marked the one-month anniversary of the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry, Angola Mayor Richard Hickman, and public safety officials gathered to remember the victims of Sandy Hook Elementary School and to ask Congress to take steps to end gun violence. Both mayors are members of the organization Mayors Against Illegal Guns, founded by New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mayor Henry and Mayor Hickman outlined the three changes they would like to see Washington enact: requiring criminal background checks for all gun sales, banning military-style assault weapons, and making gun trafficking a federal crime. Mayor Henry acknowledged the unlikelihood of ending all gun violence, but says it is still beneficial to delay someone who wishes to buy a gun and do others harm.
There should be a check on anybody who makes a purchase. Now, in private purchases, between you and me, it's going to be much harder, that's for sure, particularly at gun shows. But if we can slow down the process, are we ever going to get rid of it? No, we're not naive. We know that's going to occur.
In addition to the city's efforts, a new national TV ad will begin airing in the Fort Wayne market, explaining the significance of decreasing gun violence. Indiana health officials say the number of flu-related deaths in the state has reached 21. The Indiana State Department of Health reported the updated number Monday. It says two of the deaths have occurred in individuals younger than 18. The agency says no official shortages of the influenza vaccine have been reported, but some people might find it more difficult to find the vaccine because of high demand. It says a vaccine locator can be found at www.flu.gov and that the vaccine typically can be found at local health departments, pharmacies, and with healthcare providers. Vaccinations are recommended for anyone 6 months old or older. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOI. And now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
Good afternoon. It's about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. You're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter along with Susan Burns for this hour of the program. And today we're talking about all things debt, but more specifically, we're talking about student debt. And we want to hear your story, whether you are in debt and you need some basic advice. We can put that to our panel and hopefully give you a hand, or if you have a story of triumph over debt. We just heard from Jen, who had a wonderful story. Congratulations again, Jen. We'd love to hear that bit of inspiration as well. Do give us a call and share your thoughts. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And Susan Burns, we were talking over the break here about thinking of student loans and college in general more as an investment. Once upon a time, we thought you just go to college. It's a life stage. It's something that
it's what you do,
and then you figure out along the way what you want to do.
Yeah,
it may be more more sound advice to think about the return that you'll be getting on your investment.
Yeah, and Sean, we heard this morning, I think it was on Marketplace, about some states starting to think about different tuition rates for different careers. So we were talking with Mike over the break about some of the issues people face in terms of thinking about those loans and how they're going to use the money.
Mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of the student loan, obviously it's not all towards education. I think a lot of folks have gotten into a trap over particularly the last few years with the economy, they were approved for certain type amounts of student loans, and they used a lot of them for living expenses, which you can certainly do. So I think you have to be careful, and you may be approved for this amount, but you have to realistically look at it and say, what do I really want to leave here after this degree with how much, and what's it going to really cost me in terms of the interest and the payments and that. And so try to use it as best as you can for the intended purpose of education.
Mm-hmm. And then also thinking about, even in the front part of it, what kind of careers are you looking at? And I loved your discovery this year with your family.
Yes, we have one of my sons, he wants to become a doctor. So, we're thrilled about that. Obviously, he's taken that after his mom's side. But at the same time, I wish I could publicly say on the radio, my wife and I have been diligent about saving for his college education since he was 2 years old, and this is not going to be an issue. No, we're scrambling like a lot of folks right now if their kids in junior, senior year, and we're looking at the scholarships and the grants and the costs. And so this is definitely hitting home with us. So.
Yeah, and Dan, did I hear you have a 2-year-old?
I actually have a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old. Yeah. Year and a half.
Years to go.
So are you getting kind of nudged at the office about starting that 529 account?
Well, we've actually started, but it's nothing significant. I believe Abby has 175 and Sammy has 50, and that's dollars, not thousands. So
hey, you started, though.
Yeah, we've started.
You're out of the starting block.
I think the point that we're trying to get to here is that if you need to think about these things a little more than maybe folks have in the past. It's very much an investment. It's very much something that needs to be planned for and planned for early, like say retirement.
Yes.
We do want to hear your stories about debt today, or if you have a question or comment for Michael or Dan from Financial Hope, we'll try to get you some help here. The number, 260-452-1185, or you can always call us toll-free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Currently, nobody in the phone bank, so if you have a question, a comment, a story, you'll get right through. Gentlemen, I want to transition away from this topic just a little bit here because it is January. We just a few weeks ago had a big holiday season. A lot of folks spending some money on friends and relatives and maybe themselves. and the bills are coming due now. I want to ask, and we'll start with you, Dan. Do you typically see folks coming in this time of year? Are folks liable to get in trouble because they're a little too generous during the holidays?
Yeah, I think it's pretty common around our office that during December, we're pretty slow. And then January comes around and people are suddenly realizing as their credit card bills and other bills are coming in, or maybe they don't have any money left in the checking account, you know, to pay their mortgage because they were a little generous with gifts. We do get a little busier in January and it picks up.
And Mike LeClaire, does that sound about right? I mean, it seems very, very easy to lose track of your finances, and especially during, let's call it, spending season, it's more important than ever to stay on top of it.
Yeah, particularly in light now, and if most of you have, if you've received a paycheck here in the last week or so, you probably noticed it was a little bit lighter than it used to be because of the new taxes, you know, that have come into play with the Medicare taxes and stuff. So we've seen an increase in that. So a lot of people have had their take-home pay decreased. So yeah, I think generally, for the most part, January is busier than it definitely is in December. We'll see how that goes into the upcoming months in February and March. I know a lot of times people, when they get a big tax return, they'll use that to try to catch up on some debt. Some people use that actually to file bankruptcy and pay an attorney and stuff, or to do some settlements with some creditors. So,
all right, we want to hear from our listeners in just the last 10 minutes of the program today. If you have a question or comment for Mike or Dan, give us a call. Or if you have a story that you want to share about becoming debt free, we'd love to hear that as well. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. And of course, we always have our Facebook page up. That's facebook.com/middaymatters, and our Twitter account as well, @middaymatters. We have a caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Jed. Jed, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a comment for those that are interested in being doctors. I'm not sure what universities have them, but there are such things as PhD, MD programs where you actually do research, and I think you get a stipend, and it ends up being a lot cheaper if you want to become a medical doctor.
Said PhD, MD programs?
It's a longer program, but right, it's a combined program.
But that's very interesting. And so students can, it sounds like, significantly reduce the burden coming out of school.
Right, and I don't know a lot of details. I've just heard of them, and I when I heard about them, I looked them up a little bit, and I thought, oh, that's, you know, it's a longer program, but probably not going to have the amount of debt or the amount of cash flow out to pay for such a program.
Well, that sounds like great news, Jen, and a great suggestion. Guys, I see nothing but smiles over there.
Oh, thank you. I wrote that one down. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Jed, we appreciate the call, and have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Mike LeClaire, just another example of a lot of different maybe unexpected ideas to keep that student debt away.
It all comes down to doing your research, getting on the online, communicating, yeah. You know, networking with other people and stuff. So, sure. Yeah, again, I'm in that process. So.
And following Jen's suggestion of look for other schools that maybe don't charge as much.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Yeah, shop around.
Yeah.
We're going to take just a quick break here. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. In the meantime, we want want you to get a hold of us, like Jed and CJ. And Jen, if you have a story of triumphing over debt, or if you have a question about your debt for Mike LeClaire and Dan Richardville, give us a call and share your thoughts. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Now we have a caller on the line. We'll get to them when we return. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Ben Affleck. At the Golden Globe Sunday, his film Argo won for Best Film Drama, and he won for Best Director. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
In Mali, the French military fights Islamist militants with airstrikes and awaits the arrival of an African force to help battle al-Qaeda-linked rebels. And in Aleppo, Syrian government fighters and rebels trade fire, but neither side makes much progress. I'm Celeste Headlee. What's at stake in hotspots around the world? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Baden, Gage & Schrader, CPAs providing audit, accounting, and tax services to businesses, including personal financial and estate planning, online at badencpa.com.
It's 12:53. You're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns. And this hour, we're talking all things debt. We've been talking an awful lot about student debt with Mike LeClaire and Dan Richardville from Financial Hope, formerly, as we were just talking about over the break, Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Northeastern Indiana. They have a new name, but the game is the same. And we do want to hear from you in the last few minutes of the program here. If you have a question or a comment from Mike and Dan, or if you want to share your story of triumph over debt, give us a call. It's 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Of course, our Facebook page is active today, and our email address, middaymatters@nipr.fm. We do have a caller on the line, a very patient caller, I might add. Let's go to Edie. Edie, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the program. Enjoyed listening to it. Oh, just a real quick scenario here. My husband and I both prided ourselves through college and paid for our own college work through it. So we saved like the Dickens for both our son and daughter, put them through undergraduate school. So we were lucky to do that. Both of them went for their master's degree in a pretty good university. One's a graduate from Chicago, you know, DePaul University, but it's expensive. But here they are, you know, with their master's degree, and this economy is just saturated. You look at the thousands and thousands of graduates. So we as parents promoted college, 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 and it's been a year now for my son, who's got honors from Purdue, honors from DePaul, to get a position because it's so competitive. So he's sitting now in Chicago. One particular agent said, take your MBA from your graduate degree. So he called me up. He's depressed. Mom, I've got, you know, $50,000 worth of debt. I can't find a job. You know, this illusion of college. Why did I do it when I'm so in debt? You know, and here we as parents have worked and saved and promoted college, college, which you needed nowadays. But it's such a competitive market, and it's just so, you know, I'm just encouraging my son. But now, you know, we as parents, we're ready to retire. We don't really want to help him out too much there anymore either. But it's, you know, we're going to have to dig into our retirement to help our children. It's just, It's a cyclical type of scenario, and it's hardening, disheartening, because it's not my son alone. It's other kids that graduate, and you look at the graduation, thousands and thousands of kids. These elderly people are now still working longer. They're getting laid off, getting in the market. And then these kids who've worked so hard to get to this point can't find a job nor to pay those loans. So it's really hard. I don't know if you have any answers for the future, but that's our story.
Edie, I'm very sorry to hear that. And Dan Richardville, let me start with you. This, I imagine, is not an unfamiliar tale these days.
No, we do hear that quite often, unfortunately. And I do have one suggestion. It's kind of the way I went through college. It wasn't the traditional way because I was 32 by the time I got my bachelor's degree. But what I tended to do was I went locally here at IPFW, and I was working at a local bank and working full-time and going to school part-time. And one of the benefits I received, of course, was tuition reimbursement. The bank would pay $1,000 towards every semester, and then I would pay the difference as I went. So I actually never had a student loan in my life. But again, I was 32 when I graduated, so that was the downside of that. But trying to go locally and get tuition reimbursement and pay as you go is definitely going to help.
Right. Good tips.
That's what he did, do that locally here for Purdue. He did 2 years here locally and worked, and then, you know, they went off to Purdue main campus. But then when they go for their graduate degree, he wanted to get through it quicker. The layoff where he was working, so he went full-time with a master's, thinking, gosh, this master's is really going to get me that great job. Well, unfortunately, in today's society with the economy, that's the problem. I think college is still very important. We're not deferring any of the listeners not to go to college. But the market is not like when I was in, we're in, my husband and I are in our late 50s, early 60s. It's not when we graduated with out of 20, 25, 26, 27, 28, we could choose between two or three jobs. Went through three interviews, and, you know, nowadays you've got 100 people applying for the job. So it's a tough, tough field for kids going to college and finding that job. It's not that easy. And these good suggestions that you're offering to these listeners is something for these students to be listening to. Get into a company, pay for it. It's not like go to school and take the loans, because it's not that easy anymore compared to when my husband and I graduated and what we're seeing in our kids.
And needing to stay in the game, staying in front of some employers who are going to remember you and think of you, that sort of thing.
Edie, I'd say a difficult scenario, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for your program.
Thank you, and have a good day. Michael Claire, just a few seconds here, but this not an unfamiliar story, and putting a lot of parents and even grandparents and other relatives in difficult positions.
There's definitely no easy answer for it. And so, again, we're just going to have to do your homework and check out all your options. I think Dan gave some great tips there, and but I wish we had an easy answer for this.
We are just about out of time here, but I do want to end on a positive note to Susan Burns. This is going to become a regular feature of this program.
Yeah, we've invited Financial Hope to come on the second Tuesdays of the month, and Mike's got a whole long list of different topics to focus on, and so store up and think of your questions and join us on second Tuesdays for Debt Day.
It sounds like a plan. I want to thank our listeners for calling in, sharing your stories and your questions with us today. Thanks very much to Mike LeClaire and
Dan
Richardville.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you guys being with us and providing this service to our listeners. I'm Sean Beter along with Susan Burns, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, Fresh Air, with your local host Katie Anderson is coming up next.